Item number 12, a public hearing pertaining to Horseshoe Crabs.
I just want to mention to the commission that Adam Kenyon will be handling this item. Adam handled this item back on December 10th. The commission knows this is back for reaffirmation for an error in the notice that advertised that December 10th hearing. I also would request that since this is a complicated issue in some respects, other staff members may ask to come and also present information. Thank you.
Mr. Kenny, you've been sworn in?
Yes, sir.
That's true. Thank you.
What I just handed to the commission was public comments that staff received yesterday after the packet had already gone out. As Mr. O'Reilly mentioned, this is a public hearing to reaffirm amendments to Chapter 900, which were adopted by the commission on December 10th, 2013, and were made effective January 1st, 2014. I plan to go back through some of the information that was presented in December, as well as bring forward any new information that staff has received since then. Amendment 7 establishes the use of an arm model to set horseshoe crab quotas in the Delaware Bay region. Virginia is part of the Delaware Bay region with New Jersey, Delaware, and Maryland. The latest model output 500,000 male-only crabs in the entire Delaware Bay region. While this restricts that Delaware Bay region, which is east of the Coleridge line in Virginia, to male-only harvest, it actually reallocates the total number of crabs available for Virginia. Virginia has allowed a quota of 172,828 horseshoe crabs for 2014 and may harvest up to 81,331 male-only horseshoe crabs east of Coleridge line. This can be found in your evaluation on page 37, and this is the same package that was adopted in 2013. There was a crab death mortality study conducted by VIMS from December 2012 to March 2013. This study showed a high amount of damage to blue crabs and horseshoe crabs by dredge gear in hard bottom areas such as the 1942 Blue Crab Sanctuary. The Virginia Blue Crab Sanctuary, too, was established in 1942 to promote the conservation of the blue crab resource. It's defined in Chapter 752. This sanctuary area, too, is comprised mostly of hard sand, and therefore dredge gear has the potential to damage both blue crabs as well as horseshoe crabs. Staff is recommending a reaffirmation of the closure of the 1942 Blue Crab Sanctuary Area 2 to dredge gear. This can be found on evaluation page 41. And this is a map of that area. You can see it bounds the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. State-by-state quotas were established in 2000 by ASMSC. Virginia's annual quota is 152,495 crabs. Virginia first exceeded its quota back in 2009 and then exceeded its quota again in 2010. In the following seasons, federal conservation measures were implemented, including landing limit reductions, increased reporting requirements, sub-allocation of annual quota by gear type, as well as a control date established of December 31st, 2010, and a permit moratorium for new entrants of May 1st, 2011. Under the previous licensing system that was in place in 2013 prior to the December commission meeting, you had three different landing licenses, one additional hand harvest permit. As you can see, these four different permits allowed individuals to fish with multiple gears as well as have multiple landing limits within this. This caused confusion and was difficult to monitor quotas and prevent overages. This table shows that again. You can see those five different quota categories on the left by gear. You can see that they can harvest by multiple licenses, and they're relatively small quotas, with the largest quota being about 69,733 crabs in the dredge fishery. And on the right-hand side, you can see the large number of licensees in each one of these quota allocations. There's actually 107 different licenses held by 97 individuals, so some individuals hold more than one license. Despite there being 97 license holders, you can see in this table on the right-hand side, in 2013, only 31 individuals actually harvested horseshoe crabs, and that was down from 42 in 2012. The problem with all this latent effort and overcapacity is that if all eligible individuals went out in one day, 106,500 crabs could be taken in a single day. That would be 70% of Virginia's annual quota. So you can see we have a problem with the number of individuals in these fisheries and also their ability to harvest relatively quickly on these small quotas. So because of these relatively short seasons and these small quotas, the industry requested working together with staff to help develop some kind of limited entry criteria to get the number of licensees down. From previous regulations, we already had a control date in place of December 31st, 2010. We already had a moratorium on new entrants into the fishery on May 1st, 2011. We actually worked at developing some limited entry criteria in November 2011 industry meeting where the hand harvest industry went through some limited entry criteria at that point. You can see that's why they only have 15 individuals in that criteria right now. To help with this, industry requested that staff work on developing a survey. Staff worked and developed a survey and sent it out to all 97 eligible individuals in the horseshoe crab fishery. We sent out reminder letters as well as reminder phone calls on two different occasions. We got back about 42% of those surveys. VMRC staff and law enforcement also held an industry meeting on November 4th, 2013, not only to discuss the results of that survey that was sent out, but also to help and develop some of this limited entry criteria that we could use. The limited entry criteria that was developed during that industry meeting was adopted by the commission in the December 2013 meeting. Was based on an individual meeting two different criteria. They both had to hold a license prior to that moratorium date of May 1st, 2011, and they also had to have year-specific harvest history prior to that control date of December 31st, 2010. So the trawl permits and the pound net permits were issued to individuals who were both eligible for a horseshoe crab license prior to the moratorium date of May 1st, 2011, and reported at least one horseshoe crab to the Virginia Mandatory Harvester Program from 93 to 2010 by Trawl Bureau Pound Net, that's the control date again, or reported at least one horseshoe crab to a federal deer reporting to SAFIS from 2004 to 2010 by Trawl Gear or Pound Net gear. If you had history of a trawl gear, you got a trawl permit. If you had history of using a pound net, you were issued a pound net gear. SAFIS is the monthly reporting that dealers send. This can be found on your evaluation on pages 35 and 36. Dredge permits were a little bit different. They were subdivided into two different classes, a Class A permit and a Class B permit. This was based on an industry comment during the November 4th, 2013 meeting to allow for different landing limits among the two different classes. Class A dredge permits were issued to individuals who were eligible for the unrestricted horseshoe crab endorsement license. That was the higher endorsement license prior to the change. And they had to report at least one horseshoe crab to either the Mandatory Harvest Reporting Program from 93 to 2010 or one horseshoe crab to SAFIS from 2004 to 2010 by dredge gear. Or an individual could be eligible for a Class B dredge permit if they had a restricted horseshoe crab endorsement license or bycatch license prior to the license moratorium date to licenses that had the lower landing limit. And they had to report at least one horseshoe crab to the Virginia Mandatory Harvest Reporting Program from 93 to 2010, which is, again, the control date, or report at least one horseshoe crab to the federal deer's reporting to SAFIS from 2004 to 2010 by dredge gear. This can be found on your evaluations pages 35 through 36. Individuals qualify for a hand harvest permit if they are both eligible for a hand harvest permit prior to the license moratorium date of 2011 and reported at least one horseshoe crab to Virginia Mandatory Harvest Reporting Program from 93 to the control date 2010. It's a different entry criteria than what they developed in 2012. However, these new qualifications did not reduce the number or change the number of individuals that were eligible for a hand harvest permit. All this did was coincide this with some of the other gears, and that can be found on page 36 of your evaluation. And the last permit that the commission established in December was a general category permit. An individual must have been eligible for either the unrestricted horseshoe crab endorsement license or a bycatch permit prior to the license moratorium date. This can be found on page 36 There are a large number of people still in this category, and that's something staff is still working with industry and addressing. However, with a 250 landing limit daily, it is closely controlled. With these new qualifying criteria that the commission adopted, there are a few individuals who received a horseshoe crab license based on a transfer of health, active duty, or death, which is allowed by Section 900. Because of these, those individuals would not be allowed to have a license because they did not hold a license prior to moratorium date, nor did they have harvest history. Because of that, staff recommended and the commission adopted a provision that any transfer from May 1st, 2011 through December 10th, 2013 would receive their horseshoe crab permit based on the harvest history of who they got the license from. This can be found on evaluation page 43 to 44. And this table kind of sums up all that licensing criteria. You can see that under current regulation, we now have five different permits. You can see the criteria that was used. You can see the small number of participants that actually qualify now and the number of participants that no longer qualify due to this limited entry. So you can see a very small number actually had history of harvest with these gears. And you can see each one of these permits has an individual landing limit. These landing limits are shown in your evaluation on pages 38 through 40. During the December 10th, 2013 meeting, staff did address there was a request from an eligible member of the hand harvest fishery that wanted to allow each hand harvest permittee one crew member that could go out and help them harvest by hand. Right now, the only individual allowed to harvest horseshoe crabs by hand is the actual permittee. Industry members attending our November 4th industry meeting were against the crew member, citing that it would promote additional opportunities for illegal harvest. Law enforcement has commented it may make enforcement more difficult. Fisheries management staff is in agreement with law enforcement and made a recommendation for status quo to not allow helper at December 10th meeting. And the commission retained status quo during December 2010. There was also another provision for the hand harvest. Law enforcement noted that it was difficult to enforce time of day restrictions in the hand harvest fishery. They have a daily vessel limit. Law enforcement is recommending a daily 24-hour period going from 12 p.m. the current day to 11:59 a.m. the following day. This would basically be a noon to noon provision. Under current regulation, it's enforced from 12 a.m. of the current day to 11:59 p.m. the following day, basically midnight to midnight. A lot of the harvest in the hand harvest fishery occurs right around the midnight, so it's difficult for law enforcement to determine what day someone is trying to almost take a double trip. Survey results, 9 of the 15 eligible hand harvesters voting against that time of day, so they wanted to keep the midnight to midnight. There was one individual who voted for the change, and five people eligible for hand harvest permits that did not respond. During the December 10th, 2013 meeting, there was two members of the horseshoe crab hand harvest fishery that spoke against the time of change. This information can be found on evaluation page 1. They cited that it prevented their ability to harvest horseshoe crabs around significant weather events to maintain their safety on the water. At that time, the commission did not adopt the time of day and requested that if there was any additional input from law enforcement that they would like to hear. Law enforcement is available today. I believe Officer Marshall is in the audience, that if the commission has any questions about the time of day from law enforcement's point of view, he is available. This gray box down the bottom would be the language that staff is proposing. So they are in subdivision 9 there. The lawful daily time period for the possession and landing of horseshoe crabs by hand harvest shall be from 12 p.m. and end at 11:59 a.m. the following day. This is one item that the commission did not adopt in December 2013. However, staff is re-recommending it today during the public hearing. Staff have received a couple additional requests in the last couple weeks. Staff received requests from three different individuals for exemptions from the current horseshoe crab permit qualifying criteria. That is available in your packet, attachments 5 and 6 of your evaluation. Staff also received a request from an individual to allow a licensed hardship exception in the horseshoe crab fishery. That was given to you on attachment 9, pages 125 and 126. This proposal has been advertised in accordance with 28.2209 of the Code of Virginia for a public hearing. The public notice is attached on page 11. Staff have received one public comment to date, which I handed out to you on blue paper at the beginning. Staff is proposing to amend Chapter 900 to establish the following provisions to reaffirm the establishment of the 2014 Virginia horseshoe crab quota at no greater than 172,828 horseshoe crabs, establish a quota category specific licensing system, establish quota category specific daily vessel limits, establish a dredge gear prohibition in the Virginia Blue Crab Sanctuary Area 2, which is historical 1942 sanctuary. Define possession limits by time of day beginning at 12 p.m. of the current day and ending 11:59 a.m. of the following day. And establish a permit eligibility requirement for individuals who have received a horseshoe crab license or permit transfer from May 1, 2011 through December 10, 2013. And I will just point out again, item 5 there was not adopted December 10, 2013 by the commission, so that would need, staff is recommending that for adoption today. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6 are for reaffirmation by request of the commission. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Kenyon. Are there questions from the commission?
I just vaguely remember that option 5, and we did just kind of want to know, did law enforcement have a problem with that? Is this law enforcement?
It was originally an item brought up by law enforcement, staff supporting law enforcement. Last month, law enforcement was not available to speak on it, so the commission did not take any action, but law enforcement is available today.
Can we hear from law enforcement, see what they've got to say?
Yes, that would be very good. Mr. Officer Marshall. Do you swear the testimony you will give here today on this matter will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do.
Thank you very much. Please state your name for the record.
I'm Alan Marshall. Been serving Eastern Shore Marine Police Unit for 20 years.
Yep.
Been assigned Sink Tig for 19. Been working with the gentleman that's going to be talking to you today for 19 years, picking up horseshoe crabs.
Okay. Terrific. And your question, Mr. Payton.
The time of day, to try to give us a feeling of your perspective on that regulation.
This is a very unique fishery. It's done at night by hand. There's very little damage done to the environment because they're doing it by hand. The problem is where it ends and starts and stops at midnight, it would be the same as if while you were oystering at noon, you were done with that day's limit and you could start the next day's limit from noon to 2. The problem is the next day, who worked the previous day. If you didn't stay and see them, a lot of people are going to tell you, oh, I didn't work yesterday. This is yesterday. This is the ones I'm fishing before midnight, and this is today's. From noon to noon will allow us, while we're out there, if he's got more than one limit, he's wrong. I understand one of the concerns is an inclement weather day, and you get that. It's part of the business. No other fishery do we tell them, well, if you didn't catch your crabs or your oysters Monday, you can go catch two Tuesday. We don't do that in any other fishery. And now these guys are working in small boats, very small boats. That's all I have to say about the noon fishery.
Great.
Any questions?
Any other questions from the commission?
Nope.
Thank you, Officer Marshall, and I appreciate your 20 years of service. Any other questions from the commission? This is a public hearing. Does anyone in the audience wish to be heard on this matter?
Seat benders are up.
Hmm? Wow. Is there someone wishes to be heard on the matter of reauthorization? Please come forward. Please state your name for the record, please.
I was up here. I was one of the gentlemen who spoke last time we brought this in December. Inclement weather is a big problem with us on this. This is, you have to understand what this fishery is about. myself, Mr. Gibson, have been instrumental in trying to get this thing tuned up so we don't have the issues we've had in the past, and it seems to be working very well right now. Our numbers come in true. And as far as the time of day being changed, 500 crabs, as the old commissioner had said, is 500 crabs a day. That's what you're allowed to have. So basically at the end of the year, I mean, they can check our numbers at any time we want. If we're over, there's no way we're going to hide those with the way we've got everything written out now. There's no way we can hide those 500 crabs. I understand that going out at midnight, he's saying if we come in before midnight, what this is all about is what they were calling a double trip. Basically, we could go out at, say, 8, 9 o'clock, come in before midnight, land those crabs. If there's a storm coming for the next day, and you have to understand, this is a monopoly. This is not a normal fishery. This is a very short period of time, but these crabs are here, very short. Last year, 6 days was our fishery. Okay? So it's a monopoly. Everybody's allowed 500 a day. Okay? Possession on per day, 24-hour period, at night to midnight, as of right now. And what we would do is, if there was 30-mile-an-hour winds the next day coming, and it was 4-foot seas and a 19-foot Carolina skiff, instead of waiting to go out at 5, 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, we would get them early morning hours, come in, and wouldn't have to go out in that storm. The problem with saying, okay, well, we don't do this because all the other fisheries doesn't kind of fend to the weather, is that our crabs are, the best time to catch these crabs is the month of May. There's a moratorium month of May. So we can't get them month of May. We start June 8th. In 4 or 5 days, these crabs have gone to where you can catch 500 a day down to 100 a day, down to nothing. There's a big demand for them. They've gone from, the price has gone from almost nothing up to where it's, we're actually making a little bit of money now. All we're asking is leave it alone. There's no tickets being written for it. No one's had a ticket in the hand harvest fishery in 3 years. So why is this an issue? If this is such an issue, I know Mr. Marshall well. I know his partner, Mr. Fox, well. We tell him where we're coming to dock at. There's two places that we come to dock at. There's Memorial Park and there's Eastside Ramp. I'm a buyer. I bought at least half of the horseshoe crabs from the hand harvesters last year. We always meet there at the Eastside. They know they can come there anytime, check it. I have Mr. Marshall. I have Mr. Fox call me. You guys going out tonight? Yeah, what time are you going out? We tell them. We come in. Anybody else left out there? Yeah, we tell them. There's nothing wrong here. There's no tickets being written because nobody's doing anything wrong. I mean, we're not out there breaking the law and trying to get around it because of this midnight to midnight. What we're doing is simply utilizing the fact that we can go after midnight if there's going to be a storm. Keep in mind, last year there was only 2 nights that we could have gone out there and done this supposedly double trip because it was the only 2 nights that the time frame lined up with the tides and that there were crabs were thick enough that you could actually do it. You're not breaking the law because you're going out at 8, coming in at midnight, and then you're going back out after midnight, catching them, and then coming back in early morning hours. We don't have to go through these storms. We don't have to go through the seas. People will do that. You're going to risk lives. It's the truth of the matter. Mm-hmm. It's the cove, Holmes Cove, Chesapeake, Virginia. They're out there in 6-foot seas where the skiff stood straight up and down. I mean, it's a bad area when storm comes up. It's a cove, and it's on the inside. It is protected, but it does get bad in there. There's no reason to put ourselves in that kind of danger unless we've been having problems. If we'd had problems, I'd say yes, go for it. All we can do, we've done everything we could do to work with staff. We set that control date moratorium for our own fishery, the same one they're asking you to adopt today for all the other categories. We are placing this where we need it to be to get it right so we don't have these issues. Personally, I'll be honest with you, I'm tired of coming over here. I'm over here all the time. I'm sure you all used to see my face by now. And all we ever asked for is keep it what we have. We're not asking for anything else. Let's just keep what we have. It's not an issue. There's not a problem. So why are we addressing it again?
Okay. Any questions from the commission?
Well, that brings me to my question, Mr. Wimber. I mean, what's your perspective on why we are asking for this?
I have no idea. I mean, I understand that law enforcement has to stay out there longer. And I can understand that maybe they have they have a job to do.
Sure.
You know, they have their job to do, and I respect that 100%. I'm not trying to take anything away from them. The BMRC we have are good men. They do their job properly. We don't have any real issues there. We try to make it as convenient as possible. They don't chase us down. We don't go and have somebody come up to the dock in a car and say, is BMRC there? Well, we're not coming to dock there. We dock there every single night. We launch from there every single night. If you sell to me, I buy 500 crabs. If you've got 501, it's not going in my trailer. Period. That's the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand and sympathize with what he's saying. And if there had been an issue here, if there had been people who were really doing that on Chincoteague, I could see that. But about 14 out of 15 people who have licenses in this category are on Chincoteague.
Right.
There's only one other person that's not at this, these exact spots I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And there's only two buyers buying on there. The other one's here today, and he's at Memorial Park, and I go at East Side. So I don't see a conflict. I don't see a real reason for this.
I'd like to have staff reply to this.
Okay. That sounds good. Mr. Kennedy, can you reply to that?
We're Marshall.
As far as the item, this is something that law enforcement has brought up. They have had problems in the past with individuals trying to take multiple trips. This was prior to some of the limited entry before 2012 the hand harvest went through. Law enforcement still finds it problematic and that they have difficulty enforcing to say who's gone in one day and who hasn't gone in one day. So as long as it's still an enforcement issue, staff is supporting law enforcement.
Okay.
I have another question. This five, we keep talking about the hand harvesting, but would this apply across all horseshoe crab regulations?
No, this would not apply across all horseshoe crab regulations.
So it's just for the hand.
To the hand harvest fishery because it is coincides with harvesting around midnight at 9 o'clock, where the other ones can be done during the day. Okay.
Okay, thank you. This is a public hearing. Is there anyone else that wishes to be heard on this matter? Mr. Bender, please identify yourself for the record.
Arthur Bender. I'm here today to ask the commission not to adopt this regulation that is proposed today. I believe that it needs more work. I think we should have at least one more industry meeting, if not more. I have talked with several dredge fishermen. I was going to circulate a petition, but logistics, one guy was on Tangier Island. Anyway, the fishermen that I knew that I could talk with that I knew were in the fishery were all over the place. So I did not pass around a petition, but I spoke to 10 dredge fishermen. And they all seem to be fairly upset about what's happening here today, and I'd like to briefly touch on a couple of those subjects. Staff recommended that the commission regulate this dredge fishery when two-thirds of industry members that voted on the June 26th horseshoe crab survey voted for it to remain status quo. At the industry November 4th industry meeting that I attended, I asked staff what were the results of the survey, and staff replied to me, which I was the only representative there for the dredge or trawl fishery, but staff replied to me that they were inconclusive. On January 27th, 2014, I hand-delivered a document requesting results of that survey from staff. Question 6 asks for the results. The answer pertaining to that was 18 individuals submitted answers pertaining to the dredge fishery. 12 voted for status quo. 3 voted for 21 eligible fishermen. 3 voted for 12. Now, I did not participate in the survey. I did not really agree with anything that was proposed at the time, but I have not been for any further regulation either. I felt like that in the past 2 or 3 years, there haven't been any overages, but the quota has been fully utilized. So why regulate it further? And not one of the 10 fishermen that I mentioned feels any differently. Why go any further? What is the reason? Let's see. At the last industry meeting, again, I was the only trawl and representative there. The last round of slashing trip limits, reporting requirement changes, and trigger adjustments solved these problems with overages. The number of participants in the trawl and dredge fishery has been relatively low, and the quotas were fully utilized. There's no reason to regulate further. Staff is repeatedly referred to a doomsday scenario where the quota could be caught up in one day. I haven't lost much sleep worrying about 80 boats getting into the fishery. I really haven't. You know, it's only been 3 or 4 participants in the past few years. But what has caused me to lose sleep is that 3 of the 4 dredge permits that my family have or with this passing of this regulation, we will lose. Now, last year, there were three participants in the dredge fishery. It was myself, my father, and my brother. So this regulation that is being proposed today cuts out two-thirds of the participants last year. I'm the only fisherman that held both a restricted and a unrestricted horseshoe crab license. And I used both of those licenses last year. I have landings that prove that I utilized it. There is one sentence in this regulation that singles me out, essentially. I'm the only fisherman that it affects. It takes one of the two licenses that I have. I've been in this fishery for several years. I have plenty of landings, and I really feel like that, well, it might have indirectly, but it's been, takes one of my licenses. I'm the only fisherman affected. I don't feel like that was necessary. When I discussed this at the last meeting, staff said that, stating that you must have a CFRL, which is a commercial registration license, on board the vessel while harvesting horseshoe crabs, but that's not true. I could put both of my vessels working in the EEZ, federal waters, so it's totally legal. I could put both of my dredge permits on those boats, and they can work in federal waters catching horseshoe crabs, come back into Virginia waters or, you know, a Virginia port and land. I don't have to have a CFRL on either one of those boats. Last year, because I do have a CFRL, one of my boats had a CFRL line on the boat. The other boat did not. It had a seafood landing license. And I have one of the regs that kind of describes about what a seafood landing license, but I don't think it's necessary to read regulations. Every one of the 10 fishermen that I spoke with are very much against giving four bycatch individuals a directed fishery permit. Again, three participants last year. I have the rest of the data for the last 4 years. I don't think, or 3 years, I don't think it's been more than four participants. And the max in the last 5 years has been seven participants. Now, we're talking about giving four individuals that only had a bycatch license, that were only allowed to fish in the dredge fishery, or blue crab dredge fishery, or conch fishery. They were limited to the amount of hours they could work a day. They could not work on Sundays. Now, four individuals are going to be given 1,000. They were only allowed 500 horseshoe crabs. Now, these four individuals will be given 1,000 crab license. They can work 24/7 in any waters of the Commonwealth that allows horseshoe crab. That is contrary to the effort of reduction and limited entry. And I would like to bring this up, and it just touches on the subject of, I would like to see this regulation pass, but also I would like to see possibly a horseshoe crab advisory committee formed. And the reason why is, after talking with several fishermen, I think that we have a little bit better handle on who's involved in the fishery and what is more important to us than staff does. And I want to read this example. At the February 24th meeting, staff stated that before giving out restricted licenses, we're talking about something that happened in 2006, that before giving out restricted horseshoe crab dredge licenses, that the horseshoe crab quota was underutilized. And I disagree with that. I've been in this fishery for a long time. I think that it was underreported. I don't think fishermen were up to par on calling in. There were not many regulations on when you should call in and how you should do that. Before staff recommended to the commission, and the commission gave out 15 restricted licenses, should have made sure that people were actually reporting their horseshoe crabs. Before trip limits, I landed several 20,000 crab trips. And this is several years ago, but still, this, you know. Instead of giving out 15 more licenses, if they would have just, when they came up with a trip limit, we were limited to 4,000 crabs. If they would have given partial crab fishermen such as myself and other fishermen a 10,000 crab limit, which was still half of what I was landing at one point, we could have easily utilized the quota. Instead of giving 15 people that were never involved in horseshoe crab fishery licenses. And now here today, it's proposed to give out four more people licenses. You know, and I'm sorry, I just believe that's wrong. And I don't think we can solve that problem here today. And I think that we should not adopt this. And you know, we're not really having any problems here. You know, the quota's being caught, but not there are no overages. There's been several good regulations that have been put in effect. You know, a lot of those have to do with how things are reported and the triggers. All that's working. But I myself and several other fishermen believe that if we are going to restrict this, if we're going to cut out people, and the numbers look great. You know, we went from 80, 90 boats to 20 or 22, whatever it is. But the fact is that the criteria period is 18 years and you only had to land one horseshoe crab. That's, you know, that's not in really, truly in the spirit of reduction or how other fisheries have been managed. A lot, most fisheries, when you have a limited entry, it's like 2 or 3 years, and you had to land a substantial amount. And the people that I've talked to that have really been involved in this fishery and have landed 10, 15,000 crabs. I mean, I'm one of the biggest landers. But still, there are a lot of people that deserve a license. But I feel like, and there are other people that feel like there are a lot of people that should not get a license. If we're going to regulate this, let's really look into seeing who was involved in the fishery. Who actually put their dredge rigs on after a lot of these regulations came in effect, such as 2-to-1. I'm almost finished. You had to save two males for every female. There's been a lot of restrictions. There's been only a handful of people that stayed in this fishery. I think those are the ones that should get a license, not somebody that landed, only had to land one crab 21 years ago. And again, I don't think we can fix that here today. I hope if there's anything that you would consider, I do feel like I'm being, if you do decide to adopt this regulation, that we might remove that one sentence that singles me out. But I really don't think that, I think there are too many issues at hand to go further with the goal.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer. Questions?
Mr. Spencer, help me here. What's the one sentence that singles you out?
I don't have it in front of me, but it has to do with you can have one and only one of the two licenses, dredge licenses that are available, either a Class A or a Class B. If that one little, it's not even a whole sentence. It's about four words, one or only one, or one and only one, which doesn't allow me to have both my licenses.
Mr. Vedder, I do have a question. How many horseshoe crab licenses do you have?
Based on the regulation at hand is somewhat in effect now, currently I'm eligible for one Class A license. Last year, I held two. I held a restricted license and an unrestricted, which is now a Class A and a Class B. But
do you have a trawl license?
Oh, yes. I was speaking just as dredge. I also have a general license. I have a general license, I have a trawl license, and I have a Class A dredge license.
Okay,
but
so
I also had a I'm mainly speaking of the Class B.
Okay, so you have three different horseshoe crab licenses, and in fact what you're asking is for a fourth.
Well, that may sound a little greedy, but yes, that's true. I mean, anyone that was been in the horseshoe crab fishery is eligible for a 250 crab general permit. Everyone gets it. The rest have to do with landing criteria. My argument is that I fit into the landing criteria, and I've held two dredge licenses in the past, and now I'm only allowed to have one.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right, I understand that the dredge license, Class A, Class B, was refined after much discussion with the industry. Would you say that's a fair statement?
No.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions from the commission? It's a public. Yes, Ms. Erskine.
Mr. Bender, you had mentioned that you spoke to 10 other harvesters. Are they? Are any of them here today?
Yeah, Colin Biden, Edward Bender.
And they agree with you?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bender.
Thank you.
The public hearing. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify? Please come forward, sir.
Edward H. Bender.
Thank you, sir. Please speak into the microphone.
I'm not. Peter pretty well covered everything I want to say. It's a long day, so I'm just going to touch on a little bit now. I think as this amendment is written, that it's unlawful. I think it's discriminatory. That was Peter had two licenses, dredge license, out of 97 people that could dredge. Now, they all had equal opportunity to dredge, and it chose not to. Peter targets them. We target them. I mean, we keep our rig on. We don't have to rig up. We're ready. So we catch probably the most of them. But it's nothing special. Anybody with a dredge light can do what we do. So, and also, when it comes to a local party, I'd say that the commission's fishery management plans have 7 standards, and 4 of those standards aren't being met in this new amendment. And I've written a statement, so I'm not going to go over that, but I recommend that this new amendment not be readopted, and that the commission recommends a committee, RSU advisory committee, so that we can get more information before we stepped in to a closed entry. That's serious. Virginia Constitution says the people shall be allowed to hunt and fish. That includes commercial fish. Now, so when you get to close a fishery to the people, I think we should be very careful. We should get all the information that's available before we do such a thing. I can't understand why this amendment is necessary at this time when the quota had gone over in the past 2 years. It's working. Why amend something that's working? Yeah, I've got one point I want to bring up. I've been fishing a long time. And I've fished in closed entry fishermen. I've fished in a surf clam fishery. When the surf clam quotas went to the boat that caught them, then they changed and gave it to the owners. So what the owners did, they built mega boats, five crews, but a lot of people were. And I'll stand and tell you the truth. The mafia, you know, got the biggest part of the South Clam fishery. Now they control it. Now also fish in the New York South Clam fishery, which is a state fishery. And there again, their quota went to the boat. Not to the owner, but to the boat. And same thing with the flounder fishery. Your quota goes to the boat. And that's what should be done here, Catherine Ritt. But we should, fact is, we already got it. My list calls for me and my boat, Final Quest. Unrestricted license. Final Quest, my boat's on. I'm on it. Don't need CFL on a boat that has a quota. New York is strict. You own a boat in New York and you're a Virginia resident. Got a New York office, New York boat, Virginia register. You can't step on your own boat when she's fishing. Can't stand on it. They're funny. But anyway, I think that we need to look at quotas, archer crab quotas, the boat being listed on a quota. So that you don't have to have CFL. You have an interest in the boat. You can put your then unrestricted license on.
Okay.
That's it. No long time. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bender. Any questions from the commission? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to testify in this matter? Thank you. Okay, please state your name for the record.
Thomas W. Biden, Sr.
Yes, sir.
I got an unrestricted license, and I'd like to keep it that way instead of changing everything. I'm in four categories. I've got gill net, hand harvest, dredge, and trawl. And I've had no problems. I'm also one of the buyers of the hand harvesters as well as gill nets. And dredge too, but I just think that they ought to leave it the way they had it, the unrestricted. True, the officers might have a little bit more due in some cases, but normally we never had no trouble with it. And I just like to keep it unrestricted if I can get it that way.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Crabb.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Yes, sir. Please go forward.
Michael Gibson, Horntown, Virginia.
Yes, Mr. Gibson.
I just want to touch base about the helper permit. I think it would set a bad precedence. Normally in Virginia, everybody who uses their hands, oysters, clams, whatever, they don't allow having a helper do that. I think it would cause problems later on the line. I think you guys already touched base on that, though. But and as far as the noon to noon instead of midnight to midnight, we would like that to remain the same, but I do see there is a problem with that, is that somewhere down the road we missed that it was repealed. And it actually says, it used to just say you cannot harvest more than 500 horseshoe crabs, you cannot land more than 500 horseshoe crabs in one day. And that's the way we assumed it was always at. But it's actually changed from now. Someone has changed it to you cannot land or harvest. The fishery depends on being able to harvest more crabs than one 24-hour period in general. If that's the case, every hand harvester violates that law every time they go horse crabbing. every day.
Explain that, please.
If you go horseshoe crabbing from the first day on, you're always within the first 24-hour period after the first day. Always. So, and the law was like that for a reason. That's why it was you cannot land more than 500 because it's always a rotating fishery. It's not like clamming or oystering. It's an individual, special, strange thing. We're the only ones that have anything like it. We have a very short period of time to get these crabs. Weather plays a big, huge part of it. Safety is always an issue. It's one of the most dangerous fisheries I've been involved in. I've scalped 60 miles out. Anything you think of, I've been there, I've done it. But horseshoe grabbing is definitely dangerous. Hand harvest it, as that goes. So I would like to see it repealed back, if possible, because it would solve the problem of this new law, actually, that's being so we're actually compiling regulations when actually I think we just need to jump back to instead of going forward to. That if we just jump back to you can only land 500 horseshoe crabs in any one 24-hour period, like it always was. We always assumed it was that way. I guess we just missed it somehow, but I think it's been 3 years since it's been changed, and I'm not sure when it was changed or how it was changed, but we all missed it. And I think if we go back to that, it would solve pretty much every problem left in the hand harvest fishery because we didn't even see the problem with what law enforcement was saying because we didn't know it was repealed. So we understand what they're saying now, that we still wanted to go back the same way it was, and I don't know how we go about doing that, but I was wondering if we can possibly go back to you can only land 500 horseshoe crabs in any one 24-hour period. That still allows you to harvest because you go out the first day at midnight, it comes in. You go out, you harvest your 500 crabs. Well, the next day, we go out at 9. So technically, we're harvesting within the first 24-hour period. We don't bring those crabs in until 2, 3 in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning, so forth, sometimes 5 in the morning. But it takes that period of time to get those crabs, and they're only there like oysters. Oysters are always there. You know, clams, they're always there. These crabs are not always there. They're not like fish or anything else. They're only there this little period of time, and it's hard to get them. And lightning scares them, rain scares them. All sorts of different things can change these crabs. So when they're there, we have to get them.
Mr. Packard.
So, Mr. Gibson, what you're saying is when you start up the fishery the first night, you're going to go out and you'll be starting your fishery at 12 o'clock that evening.
Yes.
You'll come in the morning or 4 o'clock, whenever it is, and you'll have a landing, which you in the past say no more than 500.
Yes.
But you'll swing back out that same night and begin fishing at 9, that second day of the fishery. Okay.
Second day, same.
Same day you've landed then, yeah.
Technically, yes.
Yes.
But that's why I was saying is when it was repealed, it actually it messed all that up. And that's why it originally stated that you could land. You only could land 500 horseshoe crabs in one 24-hour period. It didn't say you can. That's why it specifically didn't say harvest, because that's the only way this fishery works, you know. And a double trip, I understand a double trip, and I understand Alan's Marshall's point on that. But I mean, with you guys putting in the call, the 24-hour call-in period, the buyer's reports, it's virtually impossible to do some of the stuff that happened 7-10 years ago. I mean, it'll no longer exist unless they're doing it 100% illegally, which I haven't heard about anything like that. But
any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Gibson.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the public that wishes to testify on this matter? Hearing none, the matter is before the commission. Chief O'Reilly.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner, members of the commission. I told you it's complicated. I think you know that if you've been through these issues. I'm not necessarily attempting to have a rebuttal, but I am trying to provide information. And some information was presented last month, so for those of you who were not able to be here, it'll be a little bit repetitive. But keep in mind that for near 3 years, we have been telling the commission that we really need to streamline this fishery. We need to get to the point where we have a gear category, a license. Limited entry 282204.1 of the Code of the Virginia has been used effectively by the commission since the fall of 1992 with striped bass. And back then, the requirements for striped bass were merely, did you fill out the paperwork the previous 2 years? And surprisingly, a lot didn't. So even more flexible than 1 pound of horseshoe crab. The code section 282203, which you come to hear many times, really doesn't apply in certain cases. There's no way that we're trying to manage for the optimum yield. Why is that? Because we have a quota. Not only do we have a quota, we have a relatively small quota. About 1998, the harvest and allowance was up above 700,000 horseshoe crabs. The ASMFC stepped in right around 2000. It was cut to 340,000 horseshoe crabs. Another movement came back. By 2001, the commission had to go along with ASMFC and establish 152,000 horseshoe crab. So really, we're just doing the best we can. We wish we had more, but that's what we have, and other states face the same thing. Overall, what I'm left with as an impression today is something I won't say again, lessons learned. You hear that a lot. But one lesson that we've learned is that it was really a mistake to even establish the unrestricted license. When things started out in 2001, there was simply what was called the HCEL, Horseshoe Crab Endorsement License, the hand harvester license that had already been on the books for a while. To give a stimulus to the harvest of horseshoe crabs, this restricted horseshoe crab endorsement license was put in place. Following that, the old 100 crab bycatch allowance was raised to 500 crabs as another horseshoe crabs as another stimulus. The problem was by 2009, we busted that quota wide open. It took 2 years to pay back the quota. I think 9 or 11 harvesters were before the commission for failure to report. This is a very complicated situation that staff has worked diligently with your help for over 2.5 years to get it streamlined. We think that we did that by December 10th. When you think of Class A and Class B, you have to look at the rationale. We have a Class A and a Class B guide license for the charter fishery. We have a Class A and a Class B gillnet license. There is no one who can have both. That's just not possible. So why would there be expectations for someone to have a Class A and Class B horseshoe crab dredge license? The survey was mentioned, and we know what a survey is. It's a way to stimulate opinion, to get people involved. We've had 4 industry meetings in the last 2.5 years. I've been able to attend 2, and it is quite an event. I mean, it is as complicated as hearing more testimony today from different corners. It's truly amazing, and for the most part, progress was made. At the first meeting I went to, we had a chart that Adam Kenyon showed, which showed 20 trawl possibilities, 20 trawl vessels that could land horseshoe crabs. And I asked at that time, I asked Mr. Arthur Bender, I said, aren't you concerned that you'll lose some of your stake in the fishery? Nope, it'll take care of itself. Well, staff wanted to help take care of all that, and the other slide you saw from Mr. Kenyon has pared down the entrance. Overcapacity continues to be a problem. Yes, things work out, but it is happenstance, because in years where the dredge quota was taken, some did not get a chance to have it. Others got to have the lion's share. Is that fair and equitable under 282203? Or is there a better system, such as staff brought forward December 10th? I think the ideas are that we really don't want to have problems that we can't handle in this fishery. It's 171,000, 172,000 horseshoe crabs. It's still small. We're down to five categories. Some more work has to be done. You heard Mr. Kenyon say with the general category, that hasn't been limited so far, but that's on the horizon. Staff would like to proceed there. Staff feels that it has made a very good attempt, not finished yet, but a very good attempt so far to have a fishery that can be productive, but also can be monitored. Because the worst thing that can happen to those who are in the fishery is to find out that there's been overages that they didn't cause, and it's too late. The reason we've been under quota in 2012 and 2013 is, if you can imagine managing five different quotas and having to make the call on a projection, you're going to be very cautious. And there's nothing that says you can't be cautious. You have to be in the situation that we've had. So I don't know whether any other staff members have any comments. I thought it was important to let you know that. On the ones you've heard today, we do have, that we just heard, we do have a 500 horseshoe crab landing limit and possession limit per day. So if there's other nuances there, I would suggest we do that in an industry meeting. Staff does not at this time support the creation of an advisory panel based on everyone being dug in on what they want to do. It makes it very difficult when you've got all these license categories. But we will facilitate meetings. We will keep working on this. In terms of the 12-hour day, just to reiterate what Adam Kenyon said, really law enforcement brought that to our attention to shift it to a noon to a noon. We support law enforcement. I'm glad to hear there haven't been any tickets, but for right now, we support law enforcement. So if you have some questions, that would be fine.
Mr. Tanker?
Yeah, I have a couple questions. I appreciate all your work on this, Rob. I tell you, it's, as you say, complex stuff. If my memory serves me right, we had some overages, and that's why we had to pull back. And the overages were a result of latent effort that sprung out when the market got hot, correct?
Well, I think it's yes. I think there's a problem with overcapacity, with things picking up. I think it was also, as I said, we weren't patient enough to let this fishery develop the way it was. When it came out in 2001, it was the endorsement license, 2,500 crabs. It was the hand harvester. When things were sluggish, we started to add on. That was a complication, but certainly overcapacity, latent effort is a problem, yes.
But I want to come back to one of my questions was, you know, you can see this is, you see lots of Eastern Shore folks. This is important fishery for us on the shore. Yeah. And, you know, with regard to the Mr. Bender, and, you mentioned we don't have many other fisheries that have a Class A, Class B license. But yet he's been fishing these two licenses for some time. I dock beside him. I see him.
May I respond?
Yes, that's my question.
Well, I think what Mr. Arthur Bender, was telling you is he had an HCEL, Horseshoe Crab Endorsement License. That allowed him to either be on the trawl boat or to have what is turned into a Class A. You could dredge or you could trawl before the Class A. So before the Class A and B, a horseshoe crab endorsement license allowed you to either trawl or to dredge. Now, with the way things are now, he's allowed to trawl. He has a Class A dredge. Previously, when he had his HCEL, he could do three things if it were possible. He could trawl, he could dredge with the 2,500, do either one, or he could have the 1,000 horseshoe crabs with what was known as the restricted horseshoe crab endorsement license.
Mm-hmm.
So a little nuance there. The change now is he can trawl, he can dredge for 2,500 crabs. He doesn't have the 1,000.
Mr. Bender, please. The public hearing part of this is before the commission. Mr. Erskine.
Rob, you indicated that there were four industry and staff meetings, or
yes,
roughly that. Were they well attended by industry?
Yes, I think they. I'm trying to reflect back to the first one. If you like chaos, and there was some chaos, it was well attended. One of the meetings really was for the benefit of staff, if you remember, going to Chincoteague and hosting the meeting there. So, I mean, the first meeting or two, I think, was a little rugged, but I think after that it was fine. And we'll continue. I mean, we don't have any problem continuing to do that. But when you said four, I guess that brought up something that I didn't reply to, and I did want to reply to the what was a bycatch, where you were allowed originally 100 crabs, and then around 2007 or so, it moved into 500 as a stimulus. What went on now is four of those bycatch folks went to 1,000. They have the Class B, four. However, I don't have this precise number, but I think in the high 60s of the bycatch folks are out of the fishery. And yes, maybe they hadn't done much, but to keep up with the latent effort, there was a lot of trimming done to make sure that didn't happen.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Chief. That helped help clarify the issue.
Well, can I ask one more question? One more question, and that's with regard to the quota and how we are relative to the whole scheme of things. I mean, are we getting back to a quota that we may see an uptick in the future, or is the population in the quota? Where are we with that? You know.
I'm not on the cusp of all the information, but what I do know from attending the ASMSC is there a problem in other stocks, the New York and North stock, that they're looking at because the abundance is low in that stock. The problem that we have right now is there was a trawl survey done for abundance, which was from Virginia Tech, and funding for that has always been a little tenuous the last few years, and my understanding is that won't be available, the trawl survey. So I would say rather than think about an uptick, I wouldn't say right away we're headed down in the quota, but it's certainly a possibility. You still have out there work that's been going on since probably the mid-90s to figure out a way to have a synthetic bait. You probably, if you looked at a little bit or seen anything, there's been all sorts of attempts to use shark wings, dogfish, all sorts of different baits for these conch, and that's what it's all for. That's why this fishery evolved so much. As the eel fishery declined, and it's declined to fairly low levels, more emphasis on the conch fishery and bait.
Thank you, Chief. Matters before the commission.
I guess I would have a comment.
Yes, sir.
We've already approved everything except five of staff recommendations, and we're revisiting this today basically due to a technical issue on the time of the public notice. So our decision was already to approve everything except five. And we didn't approve five basically because of the two well-spoken gentlemen from the Hand Harvesters who seemed to have a legitimate reason behind that. So, you know, I guess my inclination would be to support staff recommendations as we already have. And again, I guess we're back to that time of day thing for those Hand Harvesters, and I really would wish they, the Hand Harvesters and law enforcement and staff, would get together and come up with something that makes sense to all the groups, because it seems like that should be worked out. That's a comment. That's not a motion.
It's a good comment. One of the other reasons we're here today was also because there is a need I perceive to have additional public comment on this entire regulation. So, and I believe that we've received that. Any interest of fairness? Are there other thoughts, comments? Mr. Tang?
Yeah, I certainly, Dr. Neal's comments, I understand where he's coming from. I just, you know, I hear Mr. Bender, both of the Benders, and I do worry that we're being a bit onerous on someone who one or two by the way, there's three fishermen in this industry, and he particularly, I think, we've been a bit onerous on. He's made big, significant investments. It worries me. And however, we have to develop regulations. But it's a comment, and I'd hate to be too tough on folks that have made investment in this industry. In short,
I guess my main comment on all this is that it's not lost to me that staff in the industry has worked hard on this issue for the last almost 3 years, and the commission has as well. This has been a very complicated thing. We have a relatively small fishery with a number of very invested participants, and what staff has done here and the commission has endorsed is a way to limit and to protect the fishery as it is now, to limit additional fishing pressures here, and it's pretty critical to do that. And I think that that has gotten us to this point where we're close. There may be some more, but this is a significant step here to have this as a stable, controlled horseshoe crab fishery in the years to come. At least that's my perspective. And limited, and also limited entry does indeed mean that some people do not have as much fishing participation as they might wish. It is the nature of the beast. So that's where we are. Mr. Erskine.
I agree with all the comments and recognize that we had passed this regulation previously, minus, you know, recommendation five. It seems to be important to law enforcement and staff, you know, supporting that. I would support it as well, and I would make a request that staff continue to work with the industry closely to further refine what's necessary in this fishery. On that, I make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
There's a motion on the table. Do we have a second?
I'll second, along with AJ's request that staff continue to work with the Eastern Shore Hand Harvesters and Mr. Bender and tweak things as staff feels that over time. But I would second his recommendation today.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion?
So as I understand, the recommendation would be for all 5 points of the recommendation, including number five with the time of day restriction?
All six points.
All six, excuse me, yes, including number five. Correct.
That's correct. Okay. That's the motion as I understand it. Unless
correct.
Okay. Well, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Chair says aye. Is there any negatives? No, no.
I'm going to say one just out of my unease.
Okay.
What I'll call it.
Okay. No votes by Ms. Haney and Mr. Tankard here. So the motion passes 6-2.
All right.
Thank you very much for everyone. Which brings us. Do you all wish to take a 10-minute break?
Yes.
The commission will be in recess for 10 minutes.